Well, good morning. It's great to be with you. Thank you for being here. As Cynthia mentioned and as the video mentioned, today is Action Ministry Sunday, where we shine a special light on our families with special needs. And I'm thrilled to be able to preach this morning and bring an awareness and an encouragement to all of us as a church family of how we can embrace and love those families, because they're our own. They're our part of our body. Before we jump into the message, though, I do want to give a brief investor report from student ministry. We've just completed high school camp and just completed, like got off the bus yesterday, middle school camp. And if you have been a person who has given to the general offering, this is an investment report for you, because you help make the budget where families can afford to go to camp. And if you have been a person that has given a special offering for scholarship for kids to go to camp, this is an investment report for you, because you have made a way that there was no financial obstacle for any student who wanted to be at camp this year. And I want to say thank you for that. And if you have been praying for students in our student ministry and for camps, this is an investment report to you as well, because all of those things, I want you to see the direct line between giving, praying, and going to what I'm about to share. This is an investment report, and I'm so thrilled to be able to share, because I want you to understand God has been moving in the lives of students through camp this summer. When we went to high school camp a few weeks ago, we had six students who went from death to life, from darkness to light, repented of sin, and put trust in Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like during this report, I'm going to be like a QVC salesman, but wait, there's more. Just one story from one of those young, I mean, just God's sovereignty. I want you to just understand God's sovereignty. There was a young lady who's been coming and attending with us on Wednesday nights, who came to camp and invited a friend who she had met in Florida before they had moved here. That friend had since moved to Utah, came with us to camp, and got saved at camp. You think God's not in control, right? That's amazing. But wait, there's more. We had two students who came forward and said, I believe God may be calling me into full-time ministry or vocational ministry at some point. And so we are going to be one young man and one young lady from high school camp. And so we are excited to be able to work with them. But wait, there's more. At middle school camp this week, there was truly a gospel awakening that took place. It started on, Wednesday night. We had a young man who came forward and said, immediately after the evening service, and said, It's time. I need to accept Christ. So we prayed for him. And one of my favorite parts of it is I prayed with him, and he was so excited. I was looking to see if he's in here. Sometimes he's in this first service. Then I brought him to his small group who were meeting, and I said, hey, this young man has an announcement. He said, I just got saved. And the boys jumped on him and picked him up like he was Rudy, just celebrating. That is how we celebrate death to life. But wait, there is more. Then on Thursday night of this past week, we had another young man come right after the service and say, hey, I need to talk to you. And we prayed, and he received Christ. And then in a small group, actually Mr. Richard Sipe right back there was in that small group. Another young man was just weeping, and the whole group was able to pray and lead him. And he accepted Christ and immediately called every one of his family members once he was able to get his phone at night, right? Like, got saved. Then I thought, man, this is already an incredible night. And then I get a call from the girls' dorms a little bit later into the evening in the free time and said, you need to come by the girls' dorm. There's a couple of kids that want to ask you or tell you something. We come up. There are six young women that come out and are like, we got saved tonight. And they went around and told everybody on camp, from the basketball court to the concession stand to people riding around the golf carts saying, accepted Jesus tonight. But wait, there's more. After that group walked away, then another one of our adult ladies came out with another young lady who had made the decision to follow Christ. And we ended up with about 11 who had put faith in Christ by the end of Thursday night. But wait, there's more. As we were getting off the bus even yesterday, a young lady came and turned to me and said, "Hey, I accepted Christ." So we're trying to figure out exactly how many and who, but we are doing diligent work to try to follow up and look forward to a baptism service with students accepting Christ. It was phenomenal. But wait, there's more, because then we had, we had like 85 of us there, and so it's just popping up all over the place. But at least four, I believe it might have been five, three young men, I believe it was two young women, who also said, "I'm interested in trying to understand whether God has put a call for ministry or missions on my life." And so we got enough now. We're just going to have to start a class on Sundays in the fall to help these students walk through that process. I just want you to understand a couple of things. One, the direct connection between your faithful giving and prayer to make possible students to hear the gospel and go from death to life. The second thing I want you to understand is this. The same God that was at camp is right here today, and I don't want you and I to miss out on what God wants to do in the life of Harmony Hill. And so this investment report, I just want you to celebrate. So that is all I've got for right now. So you can can we give a hand clap of praise to what God has been doing? And so now we'll turn our attention to John chapter 9 and begin looking at the Word and celebrating and being challenged by what God is doing in our action ministry. As we pull out our life point outlines and get ready to jump in here, some of you may have noticed Miss Amy up here doing the sign language. The reason we have her up here on Action Ministry Sunday is she and some others perform a ministry of signing our services every single week. Every single week. Typically, they're sitting down here over in this section, and Miss Amy and others are providing that. But we thought on Action Ministry Sunday, let's bring her up, because for many of you, honestly, watching her preach the word through her hands is going to be more energizing and maybe convicting than even hearing me do it. And she's probably going to need an ice bath and, you know, like soak in icy hot after three services today, but we appreciate that very much. All right. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. All right. Very good. I think I still have a few minutes to preach. Here we go. John chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read the very beginning of John chapter 9, and then I'm going to jump to the end of John chapter 9. It's all one narrative, and then I'm going to sort of help fill in the gaps. But let's look. John 9, chapter 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 35. After the healing and some debate among the Pharisees, this is what happens. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, meaning out of the synagogue. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the blind man answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Now some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." So in this passage, I'm going to explain it and sort of go through the whole story so that we can sort of understand the context of what is happening. But before I do that, I want you to understand the main point of John chapter 9 so that as I walk through it, you're going, okay, I see how this is happening. In your life point outline, it would say this: we only receive salvation when we acknowledge our spiritual disability. We only receive salvation when we acknowledge our own spiritual disability. And I want you to understand this insight as well, right there. Jesus uses the lens of physical disability to teach us about spiritual healing. Jesus uses the lens of physical disability to teach us about spiritual healing. This is sort of the main thrust of what is happening over the course of John chapter 9. So again, Jesus and his disciples are walking, and they come upon a man who apparently it was known widely that he has been blind since birth. And the disciples ask the question. Honestly, it feels like a little bit of a rude question, but that's sort of how the culture dealt with someone, is to ask about a man when he's sitting right there as if he's not there. And the disciples say, who sinned, this man or his parents that brought him blindness? I mean, it's like he's not even there. He's a beggar, blind. And there was a cultural sort of belief that for you to have a physical disability like blindness, that it was either the result of your sin or your parents' sin. So for someone born blind, the question was, did he sin in the womb? Because they sort of felt like, you know, like Jacob and Esau, that wrestling and tugging, like you could sin in the womb. Like, did he do something in the womb that caused this, or did his parents do something? Can we just stop right there for a second? When we are talking about action ministry and special needs, we're talking about a lot of things. You have the autism spectrum all the way through. You have things like Down syndrome and muscular dystrophy. I mean, you have like all, there's learning disability. I mean, we're talking about a lot of different things. Blindness, the inability to hear, the inability to speak. So we're talking about a wide swath of things when we talk about action ministry. And though this was sort of an idea that the disciples wanted to ask Jesus about, we too may have a question about, God, why are these things happening? Is it a result of sin? As I was thinking about this and as I was reading about this, I think the point is this, not why we're here, because Jesus was not as concerned about how things got here. Now, he says in this particular case, it wasn't his parents and it wasn't him. He says in verse 3, in fact, he was born blind so that a work and glory of God might be revealed in his life. So often we want to try to solve what happened in the past, but Jesus says, I'm interested in what happens from this point forward. So no matter how we got where we are, for the majority of those dealing with special needs, it has nothing to do with a personal sin. We just live in a fallen world. But there are maybe some scenarios where, you know, a mom taking drugs or alcohol and some things happen. But Jesus, if that's even your situation in this room or watching online, Jesus is saying this, I'm not as concerned about how we got here as much as I am about my power to move forward from this moment. And so that's what he's telling. That's what he's wanting the disciples to understand. It's like, don't try to solve something in the past. It wasn't a sin that either one of them committed, but I want you to understand, I'm about to do a work that will bring glory to my Father in heaven today. And so if that's you, I just want you to understand, God offers that same thing today. Whether you feel like you fit in action ministry or not, no matter what your past is, he says, let's talk about today. Because God can do a great work that you'll give glory to God for today and moving forward. All right, so we have this discussion. And Jesus says, I'm going to do a work today. And then he begins to say, look, we've got to do the works of the Father while it's day, because when the night comes, there won't be any work being done. And when I leave here, I'm the light of the world. And so then he does something really unusual. He actually did this a couple of times to various people. Jesus spits on the ground, makes a mud cake out of it, puts the mud cake on the man's eyes, and tells him, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam. And John does not want us to miss this. He puts in parentheses, Siloam, which means sent. Means sent. And so he says, I want you to go and wash in the pool of Siloam and you will be healed. This is very interesting to me, this method, because Jesus has at other times been able to speak and people have been healed. I mean, this is a man who is blind and he just put mud on his eyes. It's already a challenge for him to get place to place, but he says, I want you to now go somewhere else to be healed. I think we'll see why as we get to the end of the story. So he does. He goes, he finds his way, makes his way through a darkness to the pool called Siloam, which means sent. He washes his face, and all of a sudden, as the cake of mud comes off his eyes, for the first time in his life, he can see. He can see color. He can see shapes. He can see the form of other humans. He can see his own hands and feet. As he probably looked in the reflection, he saw his face for the first time. And then all of a sudden, he's walking around talking and not feeling around, not begging. And people that have grown up in this town go, is that not the guy that's always begging? Is that not the guy that was born blind? And he's going, yeah, it's me. And others are like, nah, it's not him. It can't be. Because they just can't believe that this would be the case. And so finally, they're like, we got to get some solid answers on this. And so they bring him to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and say, this man, we believe, was born blind, and now he claims to be able to see. And the religious leaders, man, it's so frustrating sometimes to read about the religious leaders in the New Testament. There's a man that they all know was born blind who now sees. And they are caught up in the fact that a miracle happened on the Sabbath. And they say, tell us what happened. Who did this? Who opened your eyes? And he says, it is me. I am that guy. And it is a guy named Jesus. And he tells them the story. I went down, I washed in the pool, and I could see. And they said, well, where is he? And he's like, I don't know if you heard the story or not, but I was blind. I don't even know what he looks like. He sent me away. I don't know where the man, he could be, are you him? Like, I don't know where he is. But all I know is this, is that he healed me. And they're like, well, he must be a sinner doing work on the Sabbath. And all of a sudden, a debate begins to rage. And some of them are like, yeah, healing on the Sabbath, he, because Jesus spit in the mud and did some kneading with dirt, according not to God's law, but to the laws of the Pharisees, he had now worked on a Sabbath. Getting so off track of the unimportant, totally missing the point. And then others are saying, I don't know that Jesus could be a sinner, because how could this happen if it's not from God? So a debate comes in. They say, well, we need some other witnesses. I'm still not convinced this is the man who was blind. So they call in his parents. And they call in his parents and say, is this your son and was he born blind? They say, yes, this is our son. He has been blind since birth. And then they ask the parents, how is he now able to see? And this may be the saddest part of the entire verse or the entire passage. The parents were afraid to tell the truth because they were scared they would get kicked out of the religious community. And so they throw their son under the bus and say, he's of age. We don't know. You tell him. But John in parentheses is saying the parents were afraid. And so they bring the young man back again and say, tell us, how did this happen? He says, I've already told you, but you won't listen. I've already told you, but you won't listen. I love sort of this guy. I mean, he is now unafraid. Because for him, his parents have been able to be in the synagogue and in the religious community. But his whole life, he's not really been a part. He's been excluded. So he's not too worried about not being with those who have not cared about him for so long. And he says, do you want me to tell you because you too would like to become his disciple? They did not like that response. They said, hey, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know where Moses came from, and we know that God spoke to him. And this guy says, what you're saying to me is amazing. You're telling me you don't know where he came from, but in the history of the world, have you known of anyone who was born blind that now sees, and you're telling me that the guy that did it is not from God? He didn't. This isn't in the scripture, but inferred is, y'all got more faith than I do. If you're telling me you got more faith than Moses than the guy, he says, all I can tell you is I was blind, but now I see. And I want you to understand, I'm going to actually read this because it's in verse 34. Remember the beginning of the conversation where the disciples ask about sin. Verse 34, the Pharisees answered him back, you were born in utter sin and you would teach us? And they cast him out. Can you hear that anger? Can you hear just the ugliness? Now they're making insults because they are saying, you were born in sin and you're going to teach us, those that know the law? How about you just get out of our fellowship? And I love this. I almost can imagine Jesus sort of pacing outside of the synagogue, just sort of knowing like this ain't going to end well for that man, but I'm going to be here when he comes out. And the guy comes out and it says that Jesus went and found him when he had heard that he had been cast out. Now remember, the blind man has not seen Jesus because Jesus sent him away. So he comes up and starts this conversation and says, hey, do you worship the Son of Man? He says, sir, would you please tell me who it is? I'd love to. And Jesus says, you're talking to him right now. And he immediately says, Lord, and sits down and worships him. And then he tells the man, he gets him up and he says, look, I just want you to understand, my role is to make sure that the blind see and those that claim they can see walk around blind. And there's some Pharisees that walked out, sort of eavesdropping on the conversation, and they just can't take it, and they butt in and say, are you saying we're blind? And Jesus is like, are you saying you can see? Because if you were blind, there would be no guilt for you. But because you claim you can see, guilt remains. This is an incredible passage, again, where Jesus is saying, you and I have to understand we have a spiritual disability of blindness. We can claim that we can see, but if we don't claim that we are blind to God's truth, we can never receive salvation. Jesus said, I came to judge the world, making blind see and the sight walk around blind. I don't know, my testimony, your testimony, if you're a follower of Jesus today, is this. I was in darkness and I was blind to the truth of reality, of who God is, and my own sin until Jesus opened my eyes spiritually. I had to admit I am blind and groping around in darkness of my own sin. And he said, now you can see. There's a reason Amazing Grace is a song that has continued over and over. I was blind, but now I see. And so when we talk about spiritual disability of blindness, it's the only way that we receive salvation. And God is using this physical disability of blindness to teach an incredible spiritual truth. So that's sort of the main gist. And so for the last few moments that I have, I want to just make some application specifically to action ministry. So here are some action ministry insights. Number one, in this story, we see that Jesus sees people, not ability. Jesus sees people, not ability. In fact, in all the Gospels, when you see Jesus, he is typically the only one who sees the people that everyone else is ignoring or putting to the fringes of society. He'll go touch lepers. He'll go eat and call a tax collector out of a tree and go eat at his house. He'll see a woman washing his feet with her own tears when everyone else is like, ugh. He sees them. He says they are people. And Jesus himself, the word used to create from John 1:1, says, I created them and I don't make junk. I don't see ability or disability. I see people. And ladies and gentlemen, as a church family, that must be how we emulate Jesus, is that we see people, not ability. And that's the beauty of Action Ministry. And I just want to applaud and say thank you to Cynthia and like the 29 volunteers that are already serving, because they say, I see children, not ability. I was made aware of a young girl, actually a third grader who goes to our church, who's in a dance class. And a young woman, or another young girl about her age, came in who was deaf. And so she saw her mom signing, and the young girl from our church, I just love this, wanted to be able to be friends with her and went home and started watching YouTube videos of sign language, and the next week was able to give a couple of signs. She sees people, not ability. We are too quick to see obstacles and to just walk the other way, but Jesus sees people. And so this is my charge to us, would be this from the scripture. Let's continue to grow as a church who sees people, not abilities. And this is applicable in a variety of ways, not just in Action Ministry. James specifically says, do not show favoritism. Doesn't matter the ability, doesn't matter the social class, doesn't matter the power structure. Every person that walks in these doors, Jesus loves. And we are to love them as well. And I am thankful that 2 years ago this August, the Lord laid on Cynthia and some other people in our church saying, there's a whole group of people that we're not able to minister to because they're not able to fit in our normal systems the way that we're currently set up. And they said, we need a new normal. And so you heard the testimonies off the screen. It's amazing. So not only do we need to see people as Jesus sees people, but number two, Jesus commissions all that he sees. Did you notice he put the mud on his eyes and said, now go. And he had to wash in a pool that meant scent. And then this man who started with a disability, after being cleansed and is able to see, goes and shines his light where there was darkness, even though it was in the middle of the religious community. And he began to tell everyone, I was blind, but now I see. So here's the charge. As a church body, we must equip our Action Ministry families to be sent ones. What I'm trying to make the point is this. When Jesus says, I see people, not ability, he also says, I don't care who you are, if you follow me, I have a purpose and a plan for you to go and make my name known. And so loving the children that come at Action Ministry is a great step. The fact that they are sharing the gospel with those children in a way they can understand is amazing. But we as a church family have got to be praying to go, how is God going to use them to bring others to Christ? These families as well. And again, stepping back, I'm trying to make specific Action Ministry, but all of us were spiritually blind, washed in the pool called sent, and we were saved to be sent. We equip those who are saved, regardless of ability, to go in their sphere and what God is for them to go and make his name known. That's not just Action Ministry, but I want to shine a special light to go, how can we come alongside these families and help them see their role in the Great Commission as well? Number three, Not only the fact that Jesus sees people, not ability, and not only does he commission those that he sees, but number three, the faith body should celebrate the testimonies of our action ministry families. I told you one of the saddest parts of this entire thing is in the faith community, the parents did not feel like they were free to share the story of how Jesus had healed their son. The most powerful thing that may happen today is those testimonies that we saw from our church family who belong to Action Ministry, giving glory and testimony about how God is moving in their family's life. Just in general, like in your life group and through our social media, we've got to figure out ways to keep celebrating the stories. And sometimes that can just be at coffee and you're off. I mean, like, it doesn't have to be from a stage all the time, but like, we need to celebrate what God is doing. And here's the charge. Our fellowship, meaning our body here on the hill, is not complete when there are unheard stories from groups in our church. We are actually not complete as a fellowship when there are unheard stories from people in our fellowship. And again, I'm shining a specific light on Action Ministry, but this goes across the board. We are not complete when we're not hearing what God is doing. Like, so I told you we just got back from middle school camp. I have two basic rules that I feel like helps cover the majority of the things that students need to do. And most of our students can quote them because I say them every trip all the time. The first one is just a good spiritual truth as well. If you think about David and about Bathsheba, but this is the rule. Be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to be doing. That solves a lot of problems right there. But the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. We love one another when we are willing to sit down and go, tell me your story. How is God moving in your life? Let me tell you how God's moving in my life. Like, we love one another. And in fact, you may recall, Jesus said this, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but he says, people who are far from God will know that you belong to me by how you love one another. Amen. As a church, we've got to figure out in the small communities of life groups and ministry and in the large setting, and we're doing a better job of that, I think, on a large setting with Facebook and testimonies and things like that. But I just want you to know, we need to celebrate. People who are far from God, if they don't hear us celebrating that God is living and active every day in the lives of our people, then they're like, what's the point? Do I just come and listen to some guy every Sunday? Is that what it is? It's like, no. We come there for worship. We come there to be reminded of truth, to be convicted of sin, to fellowship and gain energy and sort of accountability so that when we go out and in our homes and in our businesses and on the highways and byways, we are seeing God move, living and active. We got to celebrate those stories. And so let me close with this. Miss Cynthia and the Action Ministry team on the back of your Life Point outline has several ways that you can be praying. I began the service by talking about the investment report for student ministry. This is how you start buying spiritual stock in the Action Ministry, by praying over these things this week. She has the table out there. Maybe you need to volunteer. Sometimes that's a Sunday or a Wednesday obligation. Sometimes they have these really cool things where they call it like a respite day, about once a quarter or something like that, where they just allow the families with special needs to bring their kids and the siblings, and mom and dad get to go have a date night. And then there's students and other children and other adults from other families in the church just coming, playing, hanging out, doing crafts. Like, maybe you could come and give time to love on Action Ministry Families on one of those. Like, there's a lot of ways Miss Cynthia can help you out. There's a bookmark in the bulletin that you were given. If you didn't get one on the way out. 1 in 5 families in our country are impacted by special needs. That's the very first stat there, which means this. Probably every single one of us in this room, whether we know it or not, are connected to a family that's dealing with it, and maybe they've not felt like they could come to church. That was some of the testimonies there on the screen. But we have a place for them, and you can be an advocate for it. No, we have a place for you, right? And we are continuing to grow. Again, this is 2 years in the making, and so we started with children. There's sort of a beginning of a branch to youth, but as she mentioned in the welcome, kids don't stop growing. They become young adults and older adults, and we're in a slow grow, and so we're trying to figure all those things out. But the only way to do that is when we have an army of people where she goes, I think we're actually good with children and youth. Let's see what we can do next. How can we see people, not ability? How can we commission and equip those that God has brought here? And then how can we celebrate the stories of God's movement in our life? Go see her. Get a bracelet. She's got one of these just to remind you, even just for 1 week, to pray. And when somebody asks you what it is, could be they're 1 of 5 in our country that's dealing with it, and it's an opportunity to share about ministry. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching online. What a fun morning to celebrate and hear from God's Word. I'm going to pray, and then, guys, do we have an announcement video? Yes, we do. So I'll pray. Turn your attention to the screen, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you that you see us and not ability. There's a reason that you've said it is in our weakness that your strength shines, and that's true of all of us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who is spiritually blind, that today that you would draw them and open their eyes to see, and they would go to the next step desk or to grab a friend that brought them here and accept Christ. Father, we're so thankful for the Action Ministry and for Cynthia and those that lead it. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless it. Pray that you would continue to impact the families and the kiddos that are a part of it. Pray that you would expand it to continue to reach people in our community because we see them. We want to equip them and we want to celebrate God's work in their life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.